Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Hayomi Nedarim Peivav. We are right in the middle of a sugya. So we had a Mishnah back on Pehei Amir Aleph. A wife says to her husband, look, all my income, all my work, all my effort, whatever I do is usher to you. It works. Question, how does it work? She's committed. She's bound to him. There's a shibud. She must cook and bake and provide this income as stipulated in great detail in Gemara and Ksubas, Samach Talad. So how does she have the right? How does she have the ability to make it an usher on him if it's sort of already his? Okay, so that was the question. So the answer was, well, we're speaking about post-divorce. Okay, so the nether will affect anything that transpires once they separate, after which she, you know, he's no longer in charge. Question was, it's a davar shalei b'la'ilam. That situation is not yet in existence. She's currently married, not divorced. The woman answered. She said, my hands are kaddish to their maker, meaning the isser pertains to the hands which are here, which are tangible. So anything that those hands produce are asa to you. That works. But the question was, those hands are mishubad to the husband. So back to square one. They're committed to him. She's bound. She has a shibut to produce for the husband. The answer is, well, she's referring to the post-divorce status. L'chi megarsha. My hands are going to be asur regarding you with respect to post-divorce. Well, the Gemara asks on that, well, right now, we're not yet divorced. How would this work? How can she make an isra now for down, if, you know, in the future? That's where we're holding, right now. Pevav amiralef on top, amar v'ilo. It works. You can do that. And as Duran explains, the goof is hers. Husband never has control of the goof. He doesn't own the goof. He has a shibud on the masi or daim, on the income. But ultimately, it's her goof. It's in her hands, so to speak. And therefore, she has the ability to make an isra on those hands pertaining to, you know, to the income which might come about via those hands post-divorce. Amar v'ilo. Uma ilu. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a precedent to this idea. For instance, a person says, Oyim lechavir. Reuven tells Shimon, you know, I have a field here which I'm about to sell to you. Sodezu shani moicher lechach, right? But let me stipulate as follows. I have an interest in making this belong to the Beis HaMikdash, making it a hegdash. But I'm selling it to you. Right. But l'kishe kechana mimcha, I have plans to rebuy it, to repurchase it from you. Then, at that point, take kaddish. I want it to be hegdish. Mila kacha? Does it not work? Of course it does. Right? So even though he's about to lose ownership, he's about to sell it, but right now he has it. He plans on rebuying it so he can make a conditional hegdish. I'm applying hegdish now so that it becomes activated once I repurchase that field. It works. Here as well, explains the run. Ultimately, it's in her hands. Her hands are hers. The fact that she has to give her husband and provide for him, that's like selling. That's like something which she's committed to do on a daily basis. I'm meant to give you. I'm meant to be meshubah to provide for you on a daily basis. But right now, her hands are hers. And she intends on making it completely usher on him once she's divorced. You can do that. Maskevlo Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah disagrees. He says, there's still a difference between the two cases. You can't use the halacha of the sold field as a precedent, as a basis for the Isser Nether on her Masa Yadayim, which are really his. The Masa Yadayim, the actual income, is his. He has a claim on that. It's really his. Maskev l'Rav Yirmiyah midami, how do you compare the two? So does the Shani Moichel Lecha. In the case of the field that I'm selling to you, well, Hashta B'yadihi, currently, it's Reuven's. It's totally his. It's as yet unsold. And therefore, he can activate a Hegdish on that. But the Isha B'yada LaHegdish Masi Yodea, let's look at the income of the Masi Yodaim the Isha is meant to give her husband. That's not hers. So he didn't reckon with this, you know, element of hand ownership, you know, as Iran explains. He didn't go with that. The fact is, let's focus on the topic at hand. Let's focus on the subject matter. What is the Isur Koinam pertaining to? The Masi Yadayim, that is not hers. Holy dummy, I will suggest a comparison and prove my point. You know what this can be compared to? A different case which really doesn't work. Eloim al-Chaver, Reuben tells Shimon, you know, remember, I already sold you that field. I know it's yours, but I have plans for that field. When I ultimately repurchase from you, take Kaddish. I want it to become Hekdish. Does that work? Of course not. Because currently that field is totally out of Reuben's possession. Here as well, the Masa Yadayim are his. She cannot affect Isser on them. Maskevla Rav Papa. So now Rav Papa is going to disagree with Rav Yirmiyah. He says, your comparison to the sold field, how do you compare me, dummy? How do you compare the two? Gabi Zvina, in the case of the sold field, Psika Milsayu, it's sort of absolute and disconnected. It's, it's totally not his. He gave it away. The field, the payroll is nothing. Is left in the hands of Reuven. How could he affect any Isser on it? But Gabi Isha, when it comes to the case of the Isha, who owns her, she owns herself, Mi Psika Milsa? How do you, have the same, absoluteness by the Isha? Meaning, sure, the Masa Yadayim committed to the husband, but her goof, her hands, which is what she's focusing on, is considered the source of the Masa Yadayim, and the issues that pertain to the hands, that's hers. Holy dummy, I'll give you a comparison to a different case. Where, in fact, it works. Holy dummy, lo'im l'chavir, Reuven tells Shem, so'adazu shemishkanti l'cha. You know, I gave you that field as a collateral. So it's really mine, but it's mishubat to you. That's comparable to the case of the Yadayim, which are part of the Isha's goof, which belong to her, but the Shibud is the husband. So sort of like an in-between case. That's a good precedent, a good comparison. Let's draw from there to our case. So does Hashem Mishkante Lecha. You know, this field which I have committed to you, which I have provided to you as a collateral, Hashem Mishkante Lecha, Leke She'epadena Mimcha, when I ultimately redeem that field from you, I pay up that loan, I take it totally back. Tikadesh, I want it to become Hekdesh. Does it not work? Of course it does. Because ultimately the actual field, the goof of the Sada, was always in the hands of the borrower, of Reuven, who's stipulating this condition. Here as well, the goof, the hands of the Isha, were always hers. And therefore she can affect Isra on them. Maskevla. Rav Shisha Bei Darviti is like a seesaw going back and forth. He has a problem with this. You're comparing it to a mashkin, midami. How do you compare the two things? Sade, when it comes to the field, which he gave as a mashkin, biyadei lifdaisai. Ultimately, the borrower, Leive, who gave it as a collateral, the actual owner of the field, biyadei lifdaisai. You know, it's within his ability to always redeem, to take back that field by paying up his loan. And we know a klal and shas. Something which is biyado is not called mechusar mas. Something which is in one's ability to do is considered very close to reality. It's as if it's done. We can view it as though it's done. Because it's here in potential. Biyado levdoisei. So therefore, we can fully understand how he can make it hekdesh. But isha biyado lizgarish, does the isha then have the ability to generate, to activate divorce, and ultimately regain control over her hands and the income produced by those hands. She can't do that. Holy dummy, Allah imil khaveri, you know, I'll give you a good comparison, a good matchup to this, and prove my point. Reuven tells Shimon, Hare sadazu shemishkati lecha le'esr shanim. You know, this field which I have already given to you as a mashkin, and it was a set, you know, stipulated mashkin, a 10-year term, okay? Likishe b'denimcha, when I ultimately get it back from you, tikadesh, I want it to become hegdish. Miloy kacha, does it not work? So basically, oh, he's actually proving from this case that it would work by the Isha as well. So if Shisha just had a problem with the comparison to the case that Rav Papa mentioned, he says that's not a good comparison. Because over there, you know, he has the koyach to redeem it, the Isha does not have the koyach to change her status. I'll give you a good example, which will actually prove our case, but it's a better example than yours. The case where it was already given as a mashkin, it's a 10-year mashkin, in which case he can't just go and walk over to him tomorrow and take it back. He's bound by the 10-year, you know, deal. So that's comparable to the Isha. It's not within his ability to change status. And still we say, he's assuming that it works. We like Kacha. He's assuming Misvara that it works. Because ultimately, I'm the owner of the field. And here as well, the Isha is the owner of her guf. And even though she cannot change her status, she can't make herself Migureshes, but the fact that she's the owner, and she can make a nether now, which will be activated after divorce, when she, you know, regains total control over her Masri Yadayim. Maskul Ravashi. Oh, Ravashi is going to disagree in Halacha. He's going to say like this. You're using the Mashkin, you know, the 10-year Mashkin as a precedent to justify the Halacha by the Isha. Me, dummy, how do you compare the two? Hasam Kitz. In the case of the Mashkin. True. Currently, it's out of my hands. It's in your hands for 10 years, but it's a predictable situation. We know, you know, it's defined. After 10 years, I get it back. And that explains why I can still have, you know, access to that field. I can still do something. I can still make it hegdish for the future. I'm still, you know, enough there. But Isha mi isla kitzu, so by the Isha, is there a set term? We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe she'll never get divorced. So that explains, that lends to argue that she cannot make it hegdish now. So that's the bottom line. We're stuck. We're stuck back with the question, how can the Isha go ahead and make her Masri Yadayim, Asr to her husband? Even if the intention is to make it Asr after divorce. It's not predictable. It's not something that she can manipulate and bring about. Maskel Ravashi, Midami Hasam Kitz, Isha Mi Isla Kitzusa. So, how does it work? Ela Omar Rav Ashi. I'll explain to you why Koinam is different than Hegdish. Shani Koinamus, the Isser of a Nether, is totally different. The Chikdushas Haguf Dami. You see, it's different than Hegdish, where Shmuel told us yesterday, you can't be Magdish something which is not yet here. Ein Odom Magdish Dovash Lebel Oilam. But here it's different. Because when you make something asr by way of koinah, by way of neder, it's very internal. It's like kedushas haguf. You see, there are two types of kedushas when it comes to hegdish. There's kedushas dama, monetarily kedush. You take an item, you say, this thing should be kedush, you know, so that it can be used towards korban. It's going to be sold and, you know, this value applied to korban. That's called kedushas damim. It's not inherently, it's not actually kaddish. It's only monetarily kaddish. Koinim is different. Koinim is kedushas haguf. It affects the actual chefter. Remember we had back on that base on my base. Nadarim is isur chefta. The use of the item is asr. The isur applies to the actual item itself. In which case, says Rav Ashi, despite the fact that a husband has a shibud on those yodayim pertaining to mas yodayim, it's his income, but that is a limited claim, is a limited ownership. It's only a monetary ownership. It's monetary access. it's like balus on the dhamma, but she's going much deeper. She's going much further than that. She's actually affecting the actual hands of hers. The chidushas aguftami, and that overrides his shibut. So forget about, you know, down the line, down the road, the future. Forget about the future. Right now, she can make her master yadayim usher to her husband because it's being done by the way of her hands. And that's an iser of guf. The actual chayfet is usher to him. And that overrides, it supersedes his monetary shibut on her hands. It's like kedushas haguf of a carbon. Ukedurav, as Rava tells us, regarding kedushas haguf of a carbon. So we're just comparing it to the, you know, real carbon to kainam. Just like over there, we have this concept of kedushas haguf, which overrides everything, which is less than that. Overrides all types of monetary issues. Here as well, the kainam, which is a sort of guf-related iser, overrides his claim, which is merely monetarily. These are three examples of statuses which affect the actual item. Hegdish, as we explained, that tushas aguf on an animal. So you say this animal is going to be kaddish for an oilam. Chametz and shichra. What are these three things? And what does it mean, mafki and midei shiba? They override claims and shibudim. The Ran explains, when it comes to Hegdish, we're speaking that he took his animal and he used it as a poitiki, sort of a collateral to the malva. But then he takes that same animal and makes it an oila. That's it. It's over. The poitiki is gone. The shibur is gone. It turned into a carbon. Kudush Saguf overrides any shibur that the malva may have on this animal. Chametz is a case where a Jew took chametz and used it as an apoiteki. Again, this is like a type of collateral that you can, a guy who's the maimava can actually claim, his choy from this chametz. So it's earmarked to be used as an asset for repayment of the loan. And then Pesach comes along, and that's stronger than the fact that I committed it to you, Mr. Guy. Pesach says, well, chametz which belongs to a yid is now usher. It's inherently usher. So it gets us, it becomes usher, and we disregard the fact that it was bound to the guy, and we don't consider it non-Jewish owned chametz. Rather, it's Jewish owned chametz which becomes usher. Third case is shichr. Again, he took an eved. I took my eved and made it, I bound it to your chayiv. I made an apaytaki to the mav, and then I released the eved. I let him go. Shichur, that affects the actual slave. He's free to go. He's no more bound to the mav. These three things are mafkim with a shibud here as well. The nether pertaining to her yodayim is inherent, is pertaining to the actual item, and therefore it overrides the shibud of the baal, and that's why the nether works. Asks the Gemara, one second, if that's the rationale behind the halacha, why wait until divorce? Mishnah says the concern is post-divorce. Then, her masi daima asked to the husband. When did she make the nether now? What does the nether pertain to? The actual item, which in this case are her hands, right? And as such, it overrides his shibud. Well, then, it becomes usher now. Why wait till later? That's the gersa we have, but the Bach brings and other Rufashim say, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, that the Gemara answers like this. True. Technically speaking, she has a right to make it usher now, but there's a gersa, Almuha Rabbanan Lushibudu Dabal, the Rabbanan, we're looking after the Shalom Bayis of Jewish families, and they elevated, they reinforced husband's koyach, ki echad eloi tigdish mehashtas, that it does not have an effect right now. It doesn't have an immediate effect. They gave him a stronger koyach. Perhaps it's based on the idea of, hefker best in hefker. Bottom line is, we don't reckon with her with her nether, and therefore he has a koyach to take that income so long as they're married. But once they're divorced, then the nether kicks in, and the nether that she made way back during marriage pertaining to the yodayim, which is a kedushas haguf, it is now activated, is now reckoned with, and it becomes asur. Okay, so easy gemara, bottom line. How does an isha make her masa yodayim asur to her husband post-divorce? The answer is because kainim is a sort of isur haguf, which overrides his shibud mamon, and therefore it works. The only reason why it doesn't work now is because of a special takanas chacham. Okay, let's end off with one mishnah here. We know that a husband has the koyach to do hafara, or to confirm, to certify the nether by way of hakama. But let's say he was mistaken in terms of the facts. Nadra ishtai. Really, his wife made the nether. V'savar shenadra bitai. He mistook the voice for his daughter. And as a result, he failed to address the nether properly. Nadra bitai, or the other way around, it was his daughter. V'savar shenadra ishtai, thinking his wife was the one who made the nether. And as such, he acted upon that nether in a way which he wouldn't have had he have known, you know, the nature of the nether. Another example is in terms of the actual nether itself. Nadra b'nazir. His wife made a nether to be a nazir. V'savar, and he mistook that for something else. Nadra b'karban. He misunderstood. He thought she made a nether, you know, of isur karban, that the wine should be usur like just a nether, not a nazir. Nadra b'karban, or it was a nadra b'karban. V'savar shenadra b'nazir, he's thinking that she's a nazir. Nadra b'te'enim, he thought he heard her abstaining from figs. V'savar shenadra, she actually did abstain from figs. V'savar shenadra b'nanav, and he mistook her words. He's thinking that she's speaking about grapes. Or another b'nanav, she made a nadra against grapes. V'savar, and he figures shenadra b'te'enim, it was against figs. In all these cases, since his reaction was mistaken, was based on false premises. Here is the Yachsav Yafar. He has the ability to come back and do a Zafara again. Because Hakama or Hafara Betos is worthless. Okay, we meet again tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.